There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1206 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you here. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Lots of guests stopping by and lots of time for you to react and talk with them as well at 343-0106. But I do want to start off with Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl, who is with the group. We've talked to Lori Miles with the Sheriff's Department about yesterday and today, the mobile food kitchen, the chuck wagon that's headed last year to Houston to help out first responders there in Houston after Harvey, and now has responded to the aftermath of Florence in the Carolinas. And Commissioner Carl has traveled with the Sheriff's Department and is there now and just finished his, was it your hamburger shift, your lunch shift?
Yes, I was the master chef. I cooked about 400 hamburgers. So
wow. Wow. Okay. So tell us, first of all, and I want to talk about getting there, but where are you and the other folks with the Sheriff's Department? Where are y'all set up? What location? Can I describe
it? We're actually set up in Wilmington, right in the middle of the storm, or the storm debris here. We haven't had a chance to get out. Excuse me. I got helicopters flying over. But we're in New Hanover County, and we're at the police station, and their jail is the same. Station in the jail.
Okay, so that's where y'all are set up, and that's where, as we've been talking to Lori about, that the first responders, they're coming through there, I guess, as their shifts start and end, they can come get a meal from y'all.
We're cooking all three meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So we just finished lunch, and we'll start prepping and getting ready for dinner and our supper. Supper tonight will run from 4 to about 7. Today lunch ran from about 11, and they're still trickling in. But we're preparing about 1,200 meals per day.
So how many of those are those all New Hanover County Sheriff's deputies, or is it police?
They're all deputies that we're focused on.
Okay.
Of course, I'm sure the other law enforcement is mixed in here somewhere.
Okay.
But all the jail staff And you talk to these folks, you know, most of them haven't been home in a week and haven't seen their family in a week. So it's quite rewarding just to see the smiles on their faces.
Now let's talk.
When they get a hamburger instead of a cold sandwich.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's talk about that. They are working very long shifts. If what happened in Houston was any measure of that, they're doing the same over there.
They are, and they've had some problems here. I think they've handled it quite well from what I've been able to tell, but. You know, they've had some looting issues, which always goes with the storms. And just the water, just the amount of water. We didn't get in here until after dark last night, so we didn't see a lot of the damage. They've got a tour set up. The Sheriff's Department wants to take us around today for an hour and show us some of the flooding. But the I-40, so I'm told, is water across the interstate. Which that's a lot of water.
Well, yeah,
over an interstate.
I definitely want to see if you get some pictures during that, because I was following the press conference with the governor of North Carolina yesterday and his discussion of one route in. I knew y'all were heading in there on your 37-hour odyssey from Mobile County to New Hanover County, but the governor was saying there was one way in to Wilmington, and he wasn't sure that was going to stay open because the rivers, I guess, have not crested yet, right, Jerry?
They did. We saw a lot of flooding on the way in. We did get through most of what he's talking about there in the daylight hours. You can tell all the trees were cut back rapidly and just pushed off the road. So there's a lot of debris. But I'll tell you, President Trump and FEMA should be, it's just amazing what you see on the way in here. They had trucks lined up and down the interstate waiting to get in here with supplies, water, and food. there's constantly helicopters flying over, aircraft flying over of some type. FEMA's just done an incredible job here.
Now, okay, give us a quick, although I don't know if you could do it for a 37-hour ride, but y'all had a bumpy road, being you and the sheriff's deputies and everybody that took the food truck there to New Hanover County. 37 hours, Jerry. I mean, I know it's not just right across the street, but 37 hours to get to North Carolina?
At one point, we were driving 12 miles an hour for almost 4 hours. So, you know, it's one of those things you just have to push on through. We did stop in Charlotte. We stopped in there about 2 o'clock one night. We left the next morning at, I think it was about 9 o'clock, so we got about 5 hours sleep. But it's, you know, we had a flat on the trailer. We had a truck the engine blew up on. We have one with us that has a kidney stone he's trying to pass.
Mm.
Anything can happen has happened, but, you know, we just keep pushing through it. It's fine. I mean, the morale is good here. The people are happy to see us. It makes it all worthwhile. It really does, because it may be us next time.
Well, exactly right, and it's good to do for other communities, and they will do for us one day. What about that? Do you know from talking to folks with the Mobile County Sheriff's Office or those people there with New Hanover County how long y'all are planning to be there?
I don't. I've got to be back Monday, so I've got to make some arrangements, myself to get myself out of here probably Sunday, because I have to be back for a conference on Monday. These guys and girls that are here, there's four others, they're here either a week or 2 weeks, depending on how long they're needed.
All right. Well, we will keep an eye.
And there's tons of food that they're bringing in. There's no way we could haul that much food with us.
Well, so good. Then you got to cook it.
The food we brought today, but FEMA is just, I mean, they've really just, they're just bringing in pallets and pallets into the jail here, so we're able to use it. Last night we slept in the jail. They had us all bunked in there with, not with the prisoners, but they cleared the prisoners out, which was kind of interesting.
Where'd they go?
I don't know. I didn't ask. They weren't in there with us. That's all that mattered.
All right. Well, okay. So we'll check back, and I'll go watch your Facebook feed as well to see pictures. If you get a chance to get off your cook shift and go take some of those pictures on and put them up on Facebook. Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl, thank you for your time, and we will check back soon.
This Mobile County Sheriff's team is making Mobile proud. You really should be proud of them.
We are.
Putting in a lot of hours.
We are, and thank you.
Care.
Hey, thanks for checking in. Jerry Carl checking in as we get started on this edition of Midday Mobile. All right, coming up, Brendan Kirby is going to join us. Of course, in Washington, all eyes on Monday and the next part of the Kavanaugh confirmation. You know what we like to do, right? We'll just talk about, let's just say what is happening here. What is happening? Number one, I will not discount that maybe there's some testimony. I'm happy, although she now has not responded to the offer to come testify. But I absolutely think you need to have testimony. If you're going to make an allegation, you have somebody come in to plead their case. I absolutely think that is the right thing to do. People say, "Oh, well, we just need to move on." No, don't move on. Don't leave something untold. Don't leave a situation where somebody could say, "Well, you know, that really did happen, but they never did get their time in court." No. So that needs to happen. But the problem is, this is being done. You know, the timing of all this is done to drag. The whole idea is to drag this out until the clock, the shot clock is ticking, right? Through the midterms. Shot clock is ticking. So what's the objective? Well, the objective is to have a situation where they get no confirmation on Kavanaugh till after that does not mean that Dr. Ford, Christine Blasey Ford, she absolutely has a right to testify. But the reason this is drug out now is for political reasons. I'll tell you what, we'll get the full breadth of this when we are joined by Brendan Kirby next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1219 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. And yeah, that big thank you to breaking free from cooking hamburgers there. Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl checking in. They say cooked 400 hamburgers. I think from talking to the sheriff's deputies and folks that were working the food truck last year in Houston after Harvey. Hey, Jerry, you're just getting started. They served, 14,000 meals in Houston last year? 14,000? Nice give back. A nice way. Idealistically, let's just say, and that's how it should be done. You just do for others because it is the right thing to do, and it gives you the, let's be honest, you get the warm fuzzy of doing good things for other human beings. It's one of the addictive traits of goodness, right? If you let it, you let that warm fuzzy get there, then you'll want to do it again because you get a sensory reward, unless you're crosswired. But number two, pragmatically, let's talk about this. It sure is nice to be able to help out other communities because one day again, hopefully it's a long, long time away, but it'll be us again after a hurricane. And don't you know that groups in Houston and Houston, Texas, and Wilmington, North Carolina, and elsewhere will come and feed our first responders over here. So good work, Mobile County Sheriff's Office. We'll check back with you soon. All right, I want to check in with my buddy Brendan Kirby from Lifeset.com, also the author of Wicked Mobile. What's up, man?
Hey, good afternoon, Sean.
Good afternoon to you as well. And get into so much of this. I didn't feel the Kavanaugh story was, confirmation story was over last week, but I thought we were at least in the last chapter. I didn't have to turn too many pages before I got to the epilogue of that story. But now here comes, what is this, round four of this?
This would be, hearing day number four, I guess you would say, for Judge Kavanaugh, not including the first day when all the senators made their opening statements, but this will be the fourth day of testimony. And, of course, it's not normal testimony. We'll hear from Judge Kavanaugh and his accuser on Monday. So
that's made for
TV ratings.
Yeah, well, but will we, right? Because I just heard a news brief there at the top of this hour. They said that there was no RSVP yet from the accuser, from Blasey. That there was nothing yet. Now, I don't know how that's sent. They said that they had not heard from either the attorney for Christine Blasey Ford or from Dr. Christine Blasey Ford herself about whether they would be there on Monday. I think the news reporter said no RSVP. Is that something, do you get like a little, do you send an RSVP to go testify?
Well, I don't think it looks like, I've never been invited to testify on Capitol Hill, so I can't say for sure, but I'm guessing it does not look like, the card you send out for your barbecues asking to RSVP. Now, in the South, I've noticed this is one of the regional differences is people will say, regrets only, which drives my wife crazy because, the tradition in the North is you're supposed to tell the host whether you're coming or not so they know how many people are coming. But the tradition down here seems to be regrets only. So if we're going by that means she's coming, right? Unless she sends her regrets.
That's a good thing.
Interpret that?
Right. So in the South, you're onto this, that they said they have not heard of. Yes, in the South, if you don't send that, well, sometimes, depends on the party, or I consult with my wife, she lets me know. But, if you don't say anything, then you're going to be there. If you can't be there, you let them know. So, I don't know. They say she is supposed to be there, but we hadn't heard from her, Dr. Blasey Ford, who would testify on Monday about this story that is from, 1982, her accounting here of something that happened at a drunken teenage party.
Right. I would be surprised if she doesn't testify, because otherwise, what is the point of this whole exercise?
Right.
Coming forward and giving an interview to the Washington Post and sending an anonymous letter to Senator Dianne Feinstein, if she does not testify, my guess is that's not going to be enough to stop the nomination, while at the same time exposing herself to whatever public scorn she might get from it. So if you're going to go that far, you go all the way, right? I mean, I don't understand. I mean, that just wouldn't make any sense to me.
Okay, well, yeah, but I think what's happening here, not like I'm the only person, not like, oh, I've got the hot take here, but everything's being done to take as much time as possible where the Democrats can control it, correct? I mean, this idea is one of, let's stall this confirmation process, let's figure out, let's throw everything we can at it to somehow stall this process till after the midterms.
Yeah, but that's not going to work unless they actually defeat it. I mean, the Republicans are not going to let them just run out the clock on this nomination as long as they have the votes to confirm him. So, you know, I think they want to have this hearing. You know, Democrats obviously would like to drag it out as long as possible, but if the complaining witness doesn't show up for the hearing, I think that ends it, unless they think they've got two Republican senators that, on the basis of this, won't vote to confirm Kavanaugh, even if the woman doesn't show up to testify. So, to me, she has to testify.
And here's the question. I don't want to, you know, those who would discount, I don't think you can discount her testimony before you hear it, but no matter what the testimony is, and we can talk about the fact that some are calling for this FBI investigation, and that's what I think, that's what I'm thinking is a delay tactic, to be frank with you, but you're not going to get certainty, right? I mean, even though I would say that it's not just a he said, she said, because there's this Mark Judge, this friend who was there as well. You'll have a he said, and then she said. But to expect this to be wrapped up and
the friend was there, according to her telling. You know, according to his and Kavanaugh's telling,
yeah, it never happened.
There.
Right. What I'm saying is, she's saying there's somebody who has a reason. If she's going to say he was there, then he has a reason to speak. Correct?
Right. Okay. Yeah. You know, and obviously, yes, and Democrats on the committee would like to hear from him as well. Although, you know, if her account is true, you know, I don't know how much stock you'd put in his denial, because he's accused of doing untoward things as well. So,
right.
You know, if you say that you're not going to believe Judge Kavanaugh because you've got
but
a reason to lie,
this guy.
Then it seems like the friend would also have a reason to lie, correct?
Well, I don't know, but the guy, the friend has nothing to lose in this situation. He doesn't have the same motivation that you would say if you believe Kavanaugh was in the wrong. I mean, he's not being confirmed.
He does, you know.
Okay, but yes, reputationally, but I not because of a specific nomination. All right, so I want her to testify, but at the same time, do we think we're going to get? I guess I see this, and I want people to be heard, but to expect that we're going to have an aha moment that she's going to testify to something, or Judge Kavanaugh is going to say something, and people go, "Oh, well, there it is. We everybody has now confirmed. We now know what's happening." I mean, I don't think that's possible.
No, of course. I mean, this will be a giant Rorschach test. I imagine both people will testify, and then how you see it depends on whether you wanted this nomination to go through or not. You know, I'm guessing. So from that standpoint, what could emerge though is other facts from other people that reinforce or cast down the allegation. And it's hard 36 years after the fact, obviously, but it is possible to test, you know, the veracity of some of this. I mean, track down where was this party held, and the problem is, even the accuser, from my understanding, doesn't have some of these details, doesn't remember where the party was or who hosted it, but you could presumably find, if there was such a party, were there other people there? Are there other people that are going to step forward that remember the two of them at a party together? And even that, you know, because Kavanaugh has been so, you know, unequivocal in his denial, this
right.
is not just, well, you know, we were there, and, you know, I mean, the way she perceives it isn't the way it went down. I mean, he's not saying that. He's saying that never happened. I never did that to her. And in fact, according to what Senator Orrin Hatch said, he told him in private, I was never even at a party like that. Now, that's kind of going out on a limb, and I
right.
was thinking about this for my own life. If someone were to accuse me of something like this from when I was in high school, I could tell you unequivocally I did not ever do anything like that. But for me to then go say I was never at a party like that, well,
yeah,
you know, I don't know. I mean, you know,
no, but I think that's good.
He never ever attended, you know, underage drinking parties in high school. I, you know, it seems kind of risky to say that because, you know, maybe you forget about something, especially
yeah, no,
if something
I,
else, you know, like this happened.
No, and I you know, when he says that, this is completely a false allegation. Kavanaugh, in his statement, he said, I have never done anything like what the accuser describes to her or anyone, because this never happened. I had no idea who was making this accusation until she identified herself yesterday. Now, the fact that he would be at a high school party with drinking underage in the 1980s, I don't think many people are going to be surprised. I think, you know, most of us would point the finger at ourselves who grew up in the 1980s. But instead of saying, I don't recall, that wasn't my interpretation of the situation, which we hear so much in Washington, it is interesting to have Brett Kavanaugh saying, this is a completely false allegation. I mean, if somebody wants a aha, we figured it all out, there is a better chance when somebody categorically denies it happened at all and somebody says it happened versus, well, it happened, but the interpretation might be different.
Right. And if multiple people were to step forward and say, hey, I was at that party, I remember that.
Yep.
Even if they said, I don't remember anything like that happening, but I remember they were both there. I remember, Kavanaugh was drinking a lot. You know, that's going to be hard to recover from.
Right.
Because that will cast his original denial, and put it in doubt.
If it doesn't,
I thought that was kind of an interesting statement to make unequivocally like that, because if he did attend those kinds of parties, you're opening yourself up to some embarrassment.
But don't you think he's savvy enough? Don't you think he's savvy enough for when he says it? Maybe I give too much credit, but I heard that and I said, this is somebody who, if he had any doubts, he would have given himself some kind of leeway, but he didn't, which to me makes me think, at least in this case, that is this completely a made-up, situation? Or maybe you're right. Maybe
let's just break it down. Let's break down all the possibilities.
Okay, let's do this. We're right up against a hard break. Let's do this. We'll break down all the possibilities with Brendan Kirby from LifeSet.com, author of Wicked Mobile, when we come back right here on Midday Mobile. You got specific questions, too. You can text those in 343-0106.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Continue our conversation with Brendan Kirby, LifeSet.com, author of Wicked Mobile, available now at all kind of places, pharmacies, right? Regular booksellers, online, eBay.
Right, hot fry sellers, right? You told me about the hot fry deal.
Yeah, man, you could get some Andy Capp's hot fries and a copy of Wicked Mobile and enjoy the afternoon and evening. You told us as we went to the break, you're going to break this down for you. Let's do that. Let's do the breakdown. Put it in some Sullivanese.
Yeah, well, I like to sort of break things down and just sort of lay out what are all the possible explanations and take it from there. So without commenting on how likely or unlikely any of these are the possibilities. One, either she is perhaps just lying. Maybe she's just making it up. Now, this doesn't happen much, I don't think. We're in this Me Too era where we say that women should always be believed, but it's worth noting that sometimes women do lie. There are documented cases of it. There's the Duke Lacrosse case. There was Tawana Brawley all the way back in the 80s. There was that Rolling Stone, a rape story on campuses. I think that, it's fair to say that women who make allegations like this are usually telling the truth, but sometimes they aren't. So we can't discount the possibility that this is just a lie, and then you can go into what the motivation for that would be. But that would be possibility number one. Possibility number two is, that Judge Kavanaugh is lying. Maybe he really did do this, and he's just
lying about this and just denying
anything close to this happened. Just to save his reputation and his seat. So that's a possibility as well.
Yep.
I also think that it's, according to her account, he was very drunk. So is it possible something like this happened and he just doesn't remember it 36 years later because he was so plastered? I think that's a possibility. I think that a high school kid who gets drunk enough and does something and doesn't remember it, and particularly if no one confronts him with it later, I don't think we can discount that possibility. And then the fourth possibility is, maybe this woman is not lying, but she's just mistaken. Maybe she really thinks that you know, maybe something like this happened to her, and she in her heart of hearts thinks that it was Judge Kavanaugh, but it wasn't. It was someone else. I don't, you know, by both their accounts, they knew each other sort of, but not real well. And you know, is that possible? I don't know how likely it is, but I think that would, you know, that's possible. You know, and that's sort of, I think, the four main possibilities for something like this.
Now, how does Brett Kavanaugh, Judge Brett Kavanaugh, not go through the exercise that you just did before making a statement? You see what I'm saying? Before making that, I mean, it's quoted there in your Life Set story. He says, this is a completely false allegation. I mean, there's no exit. There's no wiggle room there. I can't imagine the guy at his level.
And he's left no margin for error. And based on the statements of, of some key Republican senators who will decide this, if it turns out he's not being completely truthful about that, it's hard to see how he survives. So yeah, so then, you know, either he is telling the truth to the best of his memory and knowledge, or he's fuzzing it and he's taking a big risk. So, you know, it's hard to know. I would imagine over the next few days there will be more reporting on this, and we'll get some sort of better idea. I mean, presumably there are people that would have been witnesses to this, or at least indirect witnesses. Who did this woman, you know, and then girl, who did this girl go to the party with? You know, she must have had friends with her. They must be able to, you know, testify, even if she didn't tell them something happened, that they, you know, witnessed something in her behavior that's, you know, seemed off. You know, it seems like there's, and we'll never know, I don't think, with certainty, but it seems like there will be more information that will, you know, either strengthen or weaken, you know, their cases on this. But it's, you know, it's a hard thing, and it depends on what the standard is, too. If the burden of proof is on Judge Kavanaugh to prove this did not happen, I don't see how he can meet that burden, because you're asking him to prove a negative that is almost four decades old, and I don't think you'll ever be able to do that. And we should also keep in mind that the vast majority of the Democrats in the Senate, have already made up their mind to vote against him.
Well,
many
this isn't
of them
about
came
them.
Out the very day it was announced that they were voting against him. So, you know,
but this
really
isn't about them. This isn't
three
about
Republican
exactly,
senators.
Exactly. This is not about the Democrats. This is about Republicans. And if this floats around long enough, whether it has merit or not, and once again, I'm not saying I know what happened back in 1982, but whether it has merit or not, you have a situation where if a Republican was looking for cover to not vote to confirm Kavanaugh, could this be their cover?
Yeah, and I don't really think any of the Republican senators are looking for cover to vote against him. I think that's probably an unfair characterization of him. I think they're all inclined to vote for him. You know, Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski are getting a lot of pressure to vote against him, but I don't think it's an accurate read to say that they're against him, they want to vote against him, and they're just looking for a way, you know, for an excuse. I think more the more appropriate question is, does this give them enough pause where they come out? Because absent this, I think all 51 senators were going to vote yes. You know, there was really no indication that they wouldn't. And presumably Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, if they had a real problem with him, would have sent up red flags a lot longer ago. From the very beginning. I mean, I think that, for instance, if Judge Bill Pryor from Mobile had been nominated, I think Susan Collins would have signaled right away, he's unacceptable, he's already spoken out explicitly against Roe v. Wade, I'm not going to support him. And it was none of that with Kavanaugh. So, I think you're right that he was on track to be confirmed in a close vote, and now it's iffier. And we'll just have to see what comes out. It'll depend on what this woman looks like in public, what she looks like under, cross-examination, what she's going to get, whether she seems credible, and ultimately, I guess, how the American people view it. And if it's sort of a, we're divided in our camps like we always are, then he maybe gets confirmed. But if there's this massive tide against him, then probably he doesn't survive it.
Wow. And, I mean, you talk about somebody, you mentioned Pryor. I mean, compared to Kavanaugh, talk about a Bush appointee. We're talking about somebody who, if the Democrats were looking at the options that President Trump could have brought, is not exactly the farthest of the far right, correct? I mean, if you had to score this, and they're gonna defeat that, that's surprising.
Yeah, well, I mean, I love the test by a Yale law professor who testified at the hearing last week. Liberal Yale law professor who was Kavanaugh was one of the students. He said Kavanaugh is brilliant. He's a brilliant legal mind. He's in the mainstream of American judicial thought. And if you're going to vote against someone like that, then you have to suggest alternatives, and they have to be alternatives that a Republican president might plausibly pick. And I think that's a pretty good test, and I've done this on my own, just on Facebook, and nobody who's thinks that Kavanaugh's Armageddon has suggested a single person that would be would be acceptable other than Merrick Garland, Obama's pick. The caveat has to be a plausible Republican pick. So from a Democratic standpoint, they could get worse than Kavanaugh for sure. And the risk of Democrats is, let's say they scuttle this, it will be there's not enough time to get a new nominee appointed and through the process before the elections. And of course, the Democrats might very well win control of the Senate, and then they'll be in the catbird seat. But there's also a possibility that the Republican margin will be bigger after the November elections. There's a lot of Democratic senators in red states that are running for re-election. Let's say they come back with, instead of 51 seats, 54 seats. Then maybe Trump comes back and he does pick Pryor or someone like it, and then you can write off Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski if they want to vote no and still confirm them. So Democrats are taking a risk with this too, because they could end up with someone from their standpoint who's much worse.
Hey, grab some calls here too, and also on the text line. This is not the first person who's asked me about this. Mark Judge, who we were talking about, the friend of Kavanaugh's there. This texter says, have you read Mark Judge's book, and does it impact the credibility of Judge Kavanaugh or Mark Judge? I would say that I haven't read through it. I've heard intimations that this guy has a kind of a sordid life story afterwards, but I don't know, does that reflect on Kavanaugh or not, or the credibility if he's brought in?
Some people are suggesting that it does, but I don't see how it does. I mean, I think it's unfair to, a friend you had in high school who wrote or did loopy things, later in life, how that can be held against your credibility. Now, if you want to say, I'm not going to discount Mark Judge's denial, because he's, written some weird things, fine, go ahead and throw that out. And then you're just left again, literally, with he said, she said. And I don't see how that makes Kavanaugh's credibility less, just from a logical standpoint. People are free to believe the woman. And if they think that, her story just sounds more credible, or they think that, women can never be doubted when they make an allegation, then the credibility of the other witnesses doesn't matter at all in that case. But, what do you think? I mean, you think that, your friend, makes your own credibility less? I mean, that just seems like guilt by association, minus 35 years.
Yeah, I do this. I've got people want to talk about that and some other calls. Can you hold on? Can we come back after the break? Can you give us another few minutes?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
All right, coming right back. Or with Brendan Kirby with LifeSet.com. And we'll get some of these texts answered, and we'll come to the phones next. 343-0106. No, not that Mike. That's Mike Judge, right? Not Mike. I knew a Beavis and Butthead reference would get in there.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I haven't wanted to speak to Judge Kavanaugh because I knew somebody would ask me the same question that you asked me. Have you spoken to Judge Kavanaugh? So specifically, I thought it would be a good thing not to. He can handle himself better than anybody. He's a very outstanding man.
All right. So there's President Trump earlier today commenting on his, I guess, lack of conversation with Brett Kavanaugh. Does that sound like somebody who is still behind his nominee, Brendan? Does that sound like the president is wavering any?
No, I don't think he's wavering any. I think the White House is playing this pretty smart, actually. There was a lot of reporting yesterday morning that the White House was preparing this big slash and burn attack on this woman and her credibility, and it never came. And, you know, they've been careful, and the president has been disciplined as to not impugn her character or call her a liar or that kind of thing. They've just focused on Kavanaugh himself and his character, and saying, the president said he's open to a delay and the Senate should go through its procedures, and that seems like a smart way to play it.
All right, let's go to the phones, and Graham is in. Yeah. Daphne, you're on with Brendan Kirby. Hey, Graham.
I'm glad you gave a little time for some of us peon small business owners, but thank you.
I'm one of y'all. What are you talking about, man?
Okay. I just wanted to comment. You know, we have to stop and think about all the stuff we did in high school. And I think all of us, if we had our yearbooks examined on what we had to say under some hot cheerleaders' pictures, or maybe skipping school and going, skinny dipping and skip Sticks River, or, our hiding Boone's Farm in our lockers. I think every senator's high school yearbook needs to be open. And I think particularly Miss Feinstein's yearbook. I found out, I did a little history search yesterday when I heard about this. She actually was the first little Jewish girl to graduate from a covenant high school, a Catholic high school.
Okay.
And then she eloped. And now that brings up a really big flag. Man. You just don't do that from a Jewish home at a Catholic school. You just don't run off and get married. You know, usually there's something a little tighter than that. Anyway, brings up a concern, and then she divorced 3 years later. We don't hear about any of that. The one that received the letter to expose it, I think that her background needs to be exposed, and maybe Schumer's and Pelosi's, and maybe all this would be shut up, and we'd have some good people that want to enhance our Constitution and keep building our small businesses. And, Mr. Trump's not perfect. He's a little rough around the edges. But when I met him, he said, how am I doing on the swamp? And I said, well, it stinks pretty bad. Well, what should I do? I said, well, we need a flood to put it out. And he looked at me with tears in his eyes. He says, I want to open up those floodgates. Then he looked at some of his staff and said, those dam gates, that's what they are. He says, but the water is so polluted. There's 40 to 60 years of nasty political pollution, and we've got to clean up the water and let it out, or it's going to stink forever worse. So I think we're trying to get something done, in spite of him being a businessman, not a politician. But I think that Feinstein's background, we need to find out how many bottles of Boone Farm she still has in her locker. Okay?
Right. And I think they probably, Graham, I appreciate the call. I think they probably upgraded. Wouldn't you think that they... You have a little, a better brand of booze. Brendan, what do you think about Graham's comment?
Yeah, well, I mean, he raises an interesting point, which is, should we be held responsible forever for foolish acts of our childhood?
And once again, though, we're assuming that he did it, which, because I want to go back to his, I'm still fascinated,
he categorically
denied it.
I mean, there's kind of two ways of viewing this. One, even if you say, you shouldn't be haunted forever for something you did when you're 17, you can plausibly say, I think, that, if you're lying about it now, then that's not something that happened 36 years ago. You're not being upfront and honest now, and that's disqualifying. I think that's a fair argument. But it's interesting, hypothetical. What if he responded to this by saying, I got really plastered when I was 17, and something did happen. I don't remember it exactly the way she did, but I acted inappropriately with her. Would that be disqualifying if there's nothing else in his entire background from adulthood suggesting anything like this, which there's not? I think that's a fair question to ask.
It would be more...
The reason why we sealed juvenile records is
right.
Because we don't want youthful mistakes to haunt, people for the rest of their lives.
And that's on people that were convicted.
I think that would be fair to ask.
Yeah, and that would be on people that were convicted. And if the scenario, to be frank with you, I would love that scenario because I think we could go further into fleshing out the barometer of we the people, right? You could say, we talked about this yesterday. Somebody has an allegation, not even conviction. Well, they did this stupid stunt. They threw a brick through a window, whatever it is, right? They did some stunt when they were a kid, and they come in and they say, you know what? I did do that. Does that Does that DQ you? I like that. Like I've said, I think politicians could save themselves a lot of trouble if there's accusations they're guilty of, if they just have a pressure and go, yeah, that was me. I did it. I was an idiot. Any questions?
You know, yeah, but if you remember back to George W. Bush, he never copped anything specific, but you know, he sort of alluded to bad behavior and said, "I'm not going to confirm or deny, you know, specific rumors, but let's just say when I was young and irresponsible, I acted young and irresponsibly." So he sort of, in a general way, acknowledged that he didn't have a perfect childhood. I think most of us, thinking back to our teenage years, can think of stuff that we did that we didn't get caught doing. That would have been bad if we had.
But let's say if you got caught.
And I don't want to minimize this because the allegations are more serious.
Sure, it's not
a prank or,
you're right.
Or throwing a foot through a window. But at the same time, we're about, especially on the Democratic side of the aisle, we're about second chances, and not just kids, but adults that commit serious crimes. That we shouldn't write them off, and we should welcome them back, and there's a big movement to restore people's civil rights and their voting rights and all that, under the theory that you shouldn't have to pay for the rest of your life for a mistake that you made before. And that's adults we're talking about, and it seems like that doubly applies to someone who's a kid, who's a minor. But it's a hypothetical, because in this case we have someone saying nothing like this ever happened at all, nothing close to that. And if it turns out he's lying about that,
we're not talking
about something that happened 36 years ago. We're talking about something that happened now.
Right. Well, that's the big one to me. And I'm going to read that text coming up next hour, because somebody is reading my mind on how I think. That to me is the real thing. If you went to a lie and you could prove that, then that's something that's like you said, something today, but we'll find that out, or maybe we won't. Brendan, let folks know if they want to read more about your reporting on the Kavanaugh, what happens on Monday, or any of the backstory. Where do they go?
Yeah, LightShot.com. We've been reporting that all week. Also, a little later, I'll have a story up about illegal immigration based on a Senate hearing this morning that revealed some pretty eye-popping numbers that explain why our immigration system is out of control.
All right, check it out at LifeZet.com. And also, if they want to just get the direct Brendan Kirby feed, is Twitter probably best?
Yeah, you can go to at Brendan K. Kirby on Twitter. You can get a Facebook and check out the Wicked Mobile Facebook page for the book.
All right, very good. We'll talk soon. Thank you, man.
Hey, thanks a lot.
All right, coming right back. Grab some more calls. Also, read some of these texts. And also, coming up next hour, the Walt Maddox bus touring through the state of Alabama, campaigning on, that Governor Kay Ivey is linked to former Governor Bentley, and some other things. We'll get to that.